Yesterday, we looked at the Mishnah on Daf Memtes, and we're talking about a conflict between someone who's on his way to a mitzvah, and on the other hand, he reminds himself he has chametz that needs biur. And the Mishnah gave three examples. One was he was on his way to shecht his korban Pesach. The other case was he was on his way to circumcise his son. And finally, he was on his way to a Sudas Erusin. Now, we weren't sure about Sudas Erusin. If it's a mitzvah, is it not a mitzvah? Under what circumstance a mitzvah? And that will be, in Mirtz Hashem, our discussion for today. However, the Mishnah tells us that in situations where it's an either-or situation, he doesn't have enough time to both go back home and destroy his chametz, and at the same time continue on the road in order to fulfill any of those three mitzvos, then the mitzvos take precedence because of bittul. He will cover both tashbisu as a mitzvah saseh and prevent himself, avoid violating bayiro bayimotzi through bittul, because midaraisa bittul baal masagi. The chiyuv of beer now, at this level, after beer, after bittul, is only drabanan. And the rabbanan will waive their obligation in favor of those mitzvos that he's involved in. In the case where he has enough time to go back home and destroy his chametz, and then go back and fulfill those mitzvahs, then that's exactly what he has to do, with the exception of pikuach nefesh. If somebody needs his hatzola, then we're not going to take any chances. We're not going to say, well, let him go back and destroy his chametz. He's got plenty of time to be metapil with the chola. No, we're afraid of any possible unforeseen delays, and therefore drop the mitzvah bir chametz, just be mevata your chametz, and take care of that person who needs your care. In a case of a reshus, the Mishnah says, by contrast, for example, he is going out there on a derech because he wants to be kona shvisa outside of the bounds of the city, so that he'll get an additional 2,000 amma beyond the Tchum Shabbos, but he's only interested in dvar reshus. There's no pressing mitzvah that he has to fulfill. In such a case, he must go back to be mevaris chametz once he reminds himself that he has chametz that he hasn't destroyed. And there are no ifs, ands, and buts here. We're not going to talk about being kona shvisa. He's going to have to give that up for the benefit of bir chametz. Then we discuss the case where a person, which has nothing to do with chametz, reminds himself that he's carrying with him on his road kachim shenifsalu, or kachim that were taken out of Yerushalayim that require sreifa, that require burning. And the law is that the mitzvah requires that he goes back into Yerushalayim, and in some cases even back into the Azara, to burn kachim shenifsalu. Wherever the psul yotze was chal in kachim, when he leaves the Azor, in kachim kalim, when he leaves the bounds of Yerushalayim, he must go back to the point where it became posel as yotze, and that's where he's going to burn it. However, the Mishnah has an allotment, a certain permission, a certain license, in a case where he is beyond the limits of the city to such an extent that he will need to retrace his steps when he reminds himself and he's far away from the city, the bounds of the city of Yerushalayim. He's all the way up on a place called Sofim, which is a high point from which he could see the Har HaBayis. He's past Sofim. If he hasn't passed Sofim, then he's within that radius of being close to Yerushalayim, and we're going to require him to retrace his steps, go back into Yerushalayim, and there he will destroy his kachim. If, on the other hand, he's already passed Harat Sofim, that's already too much of a tircha to require of him to retrace his steps. The Mishnah then goes on to speak about two these two scenarios of burning his Kodshim Shenifsalu, one is outside Yerushalayim when he passed Sofim, and the other is in Yerushalayim when he has not passed Sofim. He's within the radius. And the Mishnah sets up an afkamina as far as who's going to supply the Eitzim, the wood, as fuel for the fire to burn his Kodshim Shenifsalu. Can he enjoy the benefit of the Atzei Marocha, and instead of running around and looking for a log seller and paying out of pocket to find logs to make his fire, here in the case where he's on his derech and he has a place to go, you know, he has his destination, he has his luach zmanim, and now we're forcing him, because he's still within the parameters of Tzofim, to go back into Yerushalayim. In such a case, we will supply the Eitzim for him. It's an urgent situation. We don't want to waste any time. We're not going to force him to procrastinate, delay, dilly-dally, running around looking for a log seller. We will supply him with the logs of Atzei Marocha for the purpose of burning of his Kodesh. Now, at the end of this Mishnah, we have a piece called Ad Kama Heim Chozrim. So let's make sure we're all on the same place. We're looking now at the second Mishnah on Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph, towards the bottom of the Mishnah, and it's four lines up before the Gemara begins, and the Mishnah asks a question, Ad Kama Heim Chozrim. Let's be careful about this. The Mishnah is not asking ad kama in distance. We've already established that depends upon whether he has time to go back and do the sreifa and get rid of his chametz, or in the case of Kodshim Shenifsalu, is he beyond Sofim or within that boundary? This ad kama im chozrim is not a question about distance, but rather about volume. And the question is about the volume, both in the case of chametz, as well as in the case of basar kodesh. What is the minimum volume which is significant enough to impose upon him an obligation to go back home to destroy his chametz, or go back into Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayis and burn his Kodshim Shenifsalu? How much of a volume of chametz or of basar kodesh is there? And here we have recorded in the Mishnah a three-way machlokas. Rabbi Meir Omer, zeve zebe kebeitza, the minimum shear, less than which he is not obligated to retrace his steps, is a kebeitza, which is more than a kezias. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zebe Zebe Kizayis. We feel intuitively more comfortable with Rabbi Yehuda because we know that the shear of chametz, for example, Linyan Achila, and therefore Linyan Bal Yirah Bayimotze as well, is a Kizayis. And presumably the same shear should apply to Basar Kodesh. Why then does Rabbi Meir up the ante, which again is a kula, that it's only when he has a kebetz's worth of either chametz or basar kodesh, that's when we are forcing him, if he doesn't forfeit the other mitzvah, we're forcing him to go back. Chachamim omrim, there is a compromise sheet here between Rabbi Meir on the one end, who sets the shear for both chametz and basar as kebetz, and Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand, who sets the shear for both at kezias. Besar kodesh b'kezayis, chametz b'kebeitza. And again, this is a bit odd, to say the least. Chametz, which would be classic Isra Achila, should have a shear of kezayis. Why? And again, this is a question that we asked on Rabbi Meir. In the case of the Chachamim, we have an additional question. Not only are we baffled about the shear of kezayis that was completely ignored by both Rabbi Meir and the Chacham with regard to chametz, and instead we jacked up the shear to a kebetza, But in addition, we have another question that baffles our mind with regard to the Chachamim. If Oibazahi, there is a shear called Kibetza, then let's be consistent, because if there's a halacha of Achilas Kibetza of Chametz, then there should be a parallel halacha of Achilas Basar Kodesh of Kibetza. And instead, the shear, according to the Chachamim, as far as Basar Kodesh, is the classic shear of Kol HaTorah Kula of Kizayis. But only in the case of Chametz is the shear going to be a Kibetza. So on this, I have a footnote here in the Masifta, and it's based on a Yerushalmi. Now, how did the Masifta get a hold of this Yerushalmi? This Yerushalmi is actually tucked away in an earlier perek in Pesachim, and it's quoted here by Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil Chachamim. So if you'll take a look at the next to the last Tosfos, in which Tosfos quotes the Riva, who in turn quotes the Yerushalmi, and I'm going to read to you a summary of Tosfos. You'll follow it inside if you can. Basar Kodesh ein lo takana bebitul. If you have Basar Kodesh that has to be burnt, Bittul is not going to in any way alleviate you from that obligation to burn Basar Kodesh and Ifsalu. And therefore, we have more of an inclination with regard to Basar Kodesh to be Machmir, because here we're dealing with a Doraisa. In the case of Chametz, because of the possibility of avoiding the need to go back and burn the Chametz under the law of Tashbisu, we can avail ourselves of the possibility of Bittul, which reduces the entire enterprise of Bir Chametz to a Derabbanan. We have more room than we have in Basar Kodesh to be Mekil. And therefore, since in the case of Chametz, which has a Takana B'Bittul, and that will reduce the Chiyuv Bir to a Derabbanan, Lo Echmiru Rabbanan Ela Ad Kibetza. Now again, this doesn't answer our fundamental question, where the shear of Kibetza flew in from. You know, where did that egg drop from? But at least we understand the fundamental distinction of the Chachamim between the case of Chametz and the case of Basar Kodesh, which requires Sreifa. Again, we're not going into the nuances of Kibetza versus Kizayis, but what we are saying is that if there's going to be a Kula, it's going to be in Chametz. And if there's going to be a Chumra, it's going to be in Basar Kodesh. And that is because whereas Chametz has a proviso of ownership which can be circumvented through Bittul, in the case of Basar Kodesh, there is no such proviso, and Bittul will not in any way mitigate your obligation vis-a-vis the Basar Kodesh. So where there's no takana in Basar Kodesh, no way of circumventing your obligation, therefore we have to be more machmir, we're going to take a lesser shear, and we're going to obligate him, if he's within that boundary of Ad Sofim, to retrace his steps in order to burn the Kodesh, even at a very small minimum size of volume of Kodesh, namely a Kizayis. In the case of Chametz, since we will obligate him in any event to be mevatel the chametz, the Rabbanon did not rely on bidika and bir. They required, in any event, bittul. And that will guarantee that we're dealing with not a doraisa, but rather a drabbanon. The Rabbanon were more mekil, and they said you don't have to schlep all the way back for the sake of less than a kibetza. That's what we have in Tosfos. That's the summary of the Riva in the name of the Yerushalmi. But here in this note, he has a kasha of the Chasam Sofer. And he says the following. Although I agree, and that's undeniable, that Bittul, as far as Chametz, is a takana on a Doraisa level, but what about Kodshim? Are you saying that there's no takana in kodshim and we're left with an isa doraisa? That's not so. Im sarfo bimkomo, if he burns the kodshim wherever he is, let's say he is all the way out there, tsofim and beyond, he will fulfill his mitzvah doraisa. However, as far as the Mishnah, which requires lifnei abira, which means that he has to go close to the azara, which is called abira, hadin l'sarfa lifnei abira eino ela midrabanan. That requirement of going back to the bira and burning the kodshim there, let's say in the case of kodshim kodshim, is only derabanan. And he says, if you don't believe me, then study Tosfos Divrei Maskil v'Sarfo, which is the third Tosfos on the Daf, and you'll see that min haTorah, Tosfos has a proof from elsewhere that on a Doraisa level, he says the following. He says, Yeshlom min haTorah yochol esarfo b'chol makom sheyirtze. It's a din not in the Maisa Sreifa, which requires a certain locale, but rather to din in the cheft to the basar. Wherever on the face of the globe you destroy that basar, you have fulfilled your obligation on a doraisa level. The rabbanan required a bira situation, and therefore the Chasam Sofer says, I don't follow this Yerushalmi. If the Yerushalmi's goal in explaining the Chachamim who lowered the standard in Chametz to a Kezias vis-a-vis Kodshim, where they were more machmir, because in Chametz, by virtue of the option of Bittul, he reduced it from a Doraisa to Drabbanon. The same option of reducing Doraisa to Drabbanon exists in the case of Basar Kodesh, because Tosfos is already committed that the requirement of Sreifa in the Bira is only Drabbanon, but Midoraisa Sarfa B'chol Mako. V'ein Lomar, he rejects a possible answer. Shebechol Mako Midrabbanan Tzorech Sreifa as a Basar Kodesh Lifnei Abira. And don't tell me that Midrabbanan, he has a requirement of burning the Basar Kodesh in the Bira. He says, Arei Gam B'chametz. Midrabbanan Tzorech L'Sarfo V'lo Dai B'masha Bitlo. In both cases, you're at a level of a drabbanan. Now, we mentioned in the past Rabbi Yonasan Milunil, and he says something here very cryptic. He writes, again, he's way, way before the Chasam Sofer, he writes, Hatam l'chiluk bein kodshim l'bein chametz, who Shebekodshim mipnei chumroso hichmiru sheyachzar afilu al kizayis. Now this is pretty fascinating. Rabbeinu Yonasan Milunil completely circumvents the Tosfos, ignores the Yerushalmi, comes up with his own original idea that this is a chumra in kodshim. We once discussed Hoil, if you remember. And we said that even if you hold of Hoil, but that's only as far as the Kula of Yontif is concerned, but Hoil Lechumrin Kodshim is something that we accept. We also have Gemaras about Tumah V'Tara, that for example, in Chulin, there's only a level of Tumah that reaches the level of a Shlishi L'Tumah. In Kodshim, we have a Revi in Tumah. We also have an entire chumra called Chibas HaKodesh, that whereas all other chulin require what's called Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah, one of the Zion Mashkim, otherwise Vesheretz falls on chulin, it's not Metame without a Machshir. In Kodshim, they were Machmir, this is called Maila Osu B'Kodshim, that even in the absence of one of the Machshirim, there still is Kabbalah's Tumah. We find many, many chumras in kodshim vis-a-vis chulin. And therefore, the Rimi Lunil classifies chametz as chulin, but Basar Kodesh belongs to the sphere of kodshim, and this is a chumra in kodshim that the Rabbanan required you to go back and retrace your steps in order to do the best job possible of Sreifa Bebiru. Truth be told, there are a number of, again, in my humble opinion, a number of issues that have to be addressed according to this Rilunil. First of all, do we find a Chumrin Kachim Shenifsalu? When we talk about Kachim, we're talking about Kachim that a Roilim is Beach, and now we're going to exclude them from the Mizbeach because of a Tumah Vitara situation. Things of that sort of Chibas HaKodesh. But when you're talking about Kachim Psulim, I don't know that we have a Maila also B'Kachim in terms of the mitzvah of Sreifa. But the Rebbe Liniel said that that's why the Rabbanu required Bira. They want you to retrace your steps back to the place where it became possible, where the Yotze was Chal, right outside the Azara. And that already is together a Drabbanon in order to impose awe and fear of Kedushas Kodshim. That's the real Milunim. Now, the second element in the equation, that we don't have to be Machmir in Chametz, because Chametz is Chulin, which is, you know, it's hard to disagree with the real Milunim about that, if you want to be argumentative. However, we find many chumras and chametz that don't exist in Shari Surei Torah. First of all, the chiyuv bir itself that we're discussing is a chumra that the Torah required in chametz. And the Rabbanon took it one step further and they said we require physical destruction. We're not going to rely, as the Torah did, on Ashbasa B'Lev. In addition, the Torah imposed two lavim of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze on Chametz that don't have any parallel in any other of the Macholos Asuros. So that if I have Orla and Klei HaKerem and Bosu B'Cholov, there's no Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze. No one forces me to get it out of my possession. But the Torah does so in the case of Chametz. So when we're weighing Kachim Shenifsalu vis-a-vis Sreifa and Bir Chametz, and we're on a Durabanan level, I don't know that we have to be more machmir in the Durabanan of Kodshim HaNisrafim as opposed to Chametz HaNisraf or Bir Chametz according to the Chachot. But in any event, we have two approaches here to explain the Chachomim's Chumra in Kodshim vis-a-vis Chametz. Now let's try to analyze the question of the status of a Sudas Erusin. Is it a Gewaldige Mitzvah? The Mishnah tells us that if he's on his way to eat and partake in a Sudas Erusin, he's going to his father-in-law's house where they're setting up this Suda. If he doesn't have time to get back to his house when he reminds himself he has Chametz, destroy his Chametz and then be back on time for the Sudas Erusin. Now, they call the Sudas Erusin for, let's say, 12 p.m. Okay, now, is it Jewish time? Are they going to start the Suda on time? I don't even know what they're going to serve at the Suda. Don't ask me that question. But he realizes it's already 10 a.m. in the morning. He's got 2 hours to get to Beis Chamov. He wants to make an impression on his newly found father-in-law and get there on time. Ich bin a Yeki, I want to get there on time. I don't want to delay the Suda. But on the other hand, he reminds himself that he's got to go back to destroy his Chametz. And it's already getting late on Erev Pesach. So we tell him that, you know what? If you won't have time to get back home to destroy your Chametz and get back on time to satisfy your father-in-law at the time of the Sudas Erusin, then you know what? Just be mevatel your chametz. Ureminu, the Gemara Sakasha, we learned in a brisa that says, aholech lechol Sudas Erusin beis chamov. Or, vil lishbol shvisas harishus. He wants to be kona shvisa and set up his own Erev Tchumen outside the city limits for purpose of harishus. Is Yachsa Miyad. Interesting. Well, we had Yachsa Miyad, we were talking about a case of Rishus, like, for example, Lishbos, Shvisas Rishus. But the case of Sudas Erusin was classified in the Mishnah, in the Reisha, together with Holech Lishchot es Pischo or Lomol es Bino. And therefore, if he doesn't have time to go back and forth, then simply rely on Bittel. Here in the Braisa, the Sudas Erisin paragraph was placed in the lower part, connected with Hashoves Shvisaso Harishus, and Yachso Miyad. Don't even hesitate, and you'll write a letter of apology to your father-in-law. Sorry I couldn't make it. Again, it's a little bit strange because if I was the father-in-law, I would say to him, this is not a very good first impression because the Suda does not go on without you. The show doesn't go out on, as we saw yesterday in the name of the Magen Avraham, without the presence of the Chasam. But in any event, the Shver is going to have to bite the bullet. He'll be embarrassed. He'll have to cancel the Suda. All in favor of the fact that his Chasam forgot that he has chametz in his house that he didn't destroy. How can you forget such a thing? But you know, chasanim are very torud. You know, they're what we call obsessed with, you know, with thoughts about marriage, and we'll let them off the hook. The status of a sudas erusin as a sudas mitzvah, or the absence of that status, depends on a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Desanya, sudas erusin reshus divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi omer mitzvah. And now we have a very smooth reconciliation of our Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, namely that there's a mitzvah of Sudas Erisin, and therefore if he's on his way to Sudas Erisin, and he won't get back on time, back and forth, to destroy his chametz, then it's a Sudas Mitzvah, and for the sake of that mitzvah, we, the Chachamim, meaning the Rabbanon, who require destroying the chametz on a deraisa level, again, as we said over and over again, he's mevatel his chametz. The Rabbanon will say, you know what? For the sake of the sudas erusin, we will allow you to forego the mitzvah derabbanan of bir chametz after bittul. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yossi, and he is the author of our Mishnah. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he holds that sudas erusin is not a sudas mitzvah. It doesn't have that status. It therefore is a sudas rishus. His shita is reflected in the braisa that combines sudas erusin in one breath with the case of shoves shvisas rishus. You want to have a sudas erusin, that's fine. But don't call it a sudas mitzvah. It's a rishus. As I said yesterday, we intuitively relate very well, we're very comfortable with Rabbi Yehuda. Because Bishleim is Sudas Nisuin, after Nisuin, after the Chuppah, there's a Simcha of Chasam Kala, the Mitzvah to be Mesameach the Chasam Kala. But Erisin? I mean, the Gemara says, in Mesech the Moed Kotten, you're allowed to be Ma'aris and Isha even on Tisha B'Av. There's no violation of Avelus in Erisin, because Erisin is not a Ma'aris Simcha. He's living where he's living. She's living in the father's house. And that's where they'll go on like that for a full year. And Erisin is nothing more than a formal kinyan. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle Erisin. She becomes an Ashes Ish. If someone has a relationship with her, he and she are Chayv Misa. I mean, Erisin is not a Milsa Zutrusa. But as far as Simcha is concerned, the Simcha of Ahayu L'Basar Echad is certainly withheld and delayed until Nisuin. And Nisuin is your classic Sudas Mitzvah. And at that Suda, it's a mitzvah to be Mesameach the Chasam Akala, Kesa Maragdim Bifnei Akala. This doesn't apply to Erisin. We never had a Mishnah or a Braisa that says Kesa Maragdim Bifnei HaRusa. And I'm wondering about the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. To me, it's a very new Shita, and the Gemara ultimately will say that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yossi. So that's why I'm working overtime to explain Reb Yossi. What shaychus a suda's mitzvah in Erusin? Very, very odd kind of halacha. Now, I have two approaches. One approach is minhag. Reb Yossi recognized a minhag b'Yisrael to make a suda's Erusin. And this really boils down to the following question. Does a minhag have the power to create a chal shem suda's mitzvah? And I'm going to suggest the following. Again, please disagree with me. And I might be totally off base here. But if the minhag reflects chesed, meaning it's a bein adam l'chavero, then the minhag could generate a sudas mitzvah. The purpose of a sudas mitzvah is to gather together the people for a simcha. Because whenever we have a simcha that imposes a chiyuv simcha imposed on a tzibur, we have what's called a suda. For example, Simchas Chas V'Kal itself is a raya. The suda of Simchas Chas V'Kal is not limited to nisuin; it applies for 7 days in the case of a bachur and a besula, or 3 days if he's an almana, he's an alman, she's an almana. All the dinim there, Masechet Ksubos. But those 7 days are days of simcha, and therefore they require suda. Participation in a suda during the 7 days of simcha is participation in a suda's mitzvah. Our Mishnah wanted to suggest that whenever you gather together for the simcha of the chasen and the kala, even though technically, according to the strict, rigid halachos, we would not define it as simcha because it's only erusin, but if the community on its own, I would call it a spontaneous generated simcha to be mesameach the chas v'kala during erusin, then that sets up and generates a sudas mitzvah. We have an obligation to be mesameach the chas v'kala in the framework of this minog, to set up a sudas erusin. And again, the nafkamina is going to be that an avel, Rachman al-Tzad, will not be permitted to partake in the sudas erusin. I have my doubts if the chassan himself is Rachman al-Tzad an avel, if he's allowed to participate in the sudas erusin according to Rabbi Yossi, because the essence of the mitzvah is simcha. And if we are generating simcha at the time of erusin, if that's the power of the minhag, then that's antithetical to avelus. Now we know that minhag b'Yisrael has a certain very, very definite power, and the best example in my mind is the minhag of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, which today is only a minhag. We know, based on the calendar of Hillel HaSheni, exactly when Yontif is. We don't have any Sfeika D'Yoma. And the Gemara at the beginning of Beitzah says, Minhag Avos Seichem B'Yedcha. We have also Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. And yet, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, we make a bracha on Hallel. No one denies that on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, we're going to recite a bracha not just on Hallel, but on Lulav, and on Matzah, and on Sukkah, and so forth and so on. So you see that there is within the power of a minhag to generate what we call Kedushas HaZman. That the Zman itself takes on the status of Kedusha, and by virtue of what? Where does that Kedusha emanate from? Only from minhag. For example, when I set up a Su'uda on Yontif, in Chutz Laretz, on the second day of Yontif, does that Suda have the status of Simcha and a Suda's Mitzvah? For sure it does. It's Minhag Avoseichem B'Yedchem. We can be Mekadish Nizman. In terms of Erusin, what we're saying is that we can engender a Simcha of Nisuin at Erusin. So I understand in Zman we have a precedent to extend the Zman of Kiddush Sayom from Yontif Rishon to Yontif Sheni. Is it possible that a minhag has the power to create a makom simcha, which is in anticipation of the ultimate marriage? Now let's ask another question, and perhaps it's relevant. Is there a bracha on Erusin? There is a bracha on Erusin. Birchas Erusin. In fact, the Rambam writes that if he went ahead and he gave her Kiddushin, and then he reminds himself that he didn't make a bracha, it's too late. The bracha, like any Birchas HaMitzvah, has to be over Lasiyosan. Then the Rambam is assuming there's a mitzvah of Erusin. If there's a mitzvah of Erusin, then you could take that mitzvah and attach it to a Suda. And here I want to say something way out. And again, don't accept it. That any minog could take any mitzvah and attach a Suda to that mitzvah and make it into a Sudas mitzvah. So for example, if you have a mitzvah like Milah, then the minhag could establish a Seudas mitzvah for Milah. If you have a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and we gather together to eat the Korban Pesach, in the context of that mitzvah, of Achilas Korban Pesach, we can set up a Seudas mitzvah. Now the truth is, I don't even know if I'm adding anything, because it's a yontif. So if it's yontif and we're eating the basar of Karban Pesach at night, we anyway have a Sudas Mitzvah. But, you know what? Let's say he ate a Sudas Mitzvah without eating the Karban Pesach. And then he gets to the Afikoman, he's already benched, and now he is about to eat a Kezayis basar of Pesach. He could set up a Sudas Mitzvah. So that Rabbi Yossi argues that if Erusin is a Mitzvah, which again, not all Rishonim would agree. The Ravid, for example, takes opposition to the Rambam and he says, no, you cannot make a bracha on Erusin. Again, it could be the Ravid is bothered by a technicality because maybe she'll refuse and disappoint us. So you'll be stuck with a bracha levatol. But there are Rishonim who will say that there's no birchas ha-mitzvah on Erusin. Erusin is only a kinyan, and perhaps that's the Shita Rabbi Yehuda at this point in the sugya. The Gemara is going to change its tune. If Erusin is nothing more than a kinyan, it's a kinyan ishus, there's no mitzvah of Erusin. The mitzvah is nesuin. It's fascinating that the Birchas Erusin that we're familiar with has both Erusin and nesuin in it. She'osa lonos arusos lonu, which is a reference to Erusin, and then v'hiter lonos and nesus lonu, yidei chupa v'kiddushin. So we mention not only kiddushin, which is Erusin, but we also mention chupa. In which case we integrate both elements of Ishus into the bracha, because both elements together integrate to form one whole mitzvah of Kiyikach Ish Isha. But certainly Kiyikach as Erusin is a mitzvah. And now we're gathering together for that mitzvah and we're establishing a Sudas mitzvah. The Gemara says the following. Rav Chisda is going to change our whole perspective on Rav Yehuda. Our perspective on Rav Yehuda is that Erusin is completely devoid of the status of a Seudas mitzvah. Maybe it's even devoid of the status of a mitzvah. Nein, says Rav Chisda, Hashtad Yom Rav Chisda, Machlokes b'Seuda Shnia, Al b'Seuda Rishona, Divrei Akol mitzvah. Rabosai, not only do we have a radical new idea of a Sudas Erusin, but we now have two Sudas Erusins. There's a Suda Rishona and a Suda Shnia. Again, in Nisuin, you have the Suda at the Shas Nisuin, after the Chuppah, and you have another bunch of Sudos for the next 7 days. Erusin, we thought, was completely alien to Suda. The concept of Suda is totally alien to Erusin. And now, Rav Chisda tells us that everybody agrees that there's a Sudas mitzvah in Erusin. Rav Yossi took it one step further. Not only is there one Suda, but there's a second Suda. And Rav Yehuda disagreed about the second Suda. What is the status of the second Suda? So the Braisa that combines Holech L'Knos Shvisa of Rishus together with Holech Lesudas Erisin, that Raisa reflects Rav Yehuda, but only vis-a-vis the second Suda. As far as the first Suda is concerned, the Mishnah is unanimously accepted that if he's on his way to Suda Rishona of Erisin, that is a Suda's mitzvah, and if it means that he has to give up on the mitzvah of Bir Chametz because he won't have time to go back and forth, that's what's going to happen. The Rabbanan are going to alleviate him of the Chiyuv Bir Chametz in favor of the Suda's mitzvah of Erisin, Suda's Erisin, and everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, agrees that that Suda Rishona is a mitzvah. Now, what is this Suda Shnia that Rav Yossi postulates also has the status of a Suda mitzvah? We had enough trouble with the Suda Rishona. So let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Afilu Tema, according to Rav, in the light of Rav Chizkiya's Chiddush, Havaha, Rabbi Yehuda, both the Mishnah and the Braisa, can be attributed to Rabbi Yehuda, Vlokasha. Ha, the Mishnah that allows you to give up on Bir Chametz if need be for the sake of the Suda's Erisin, Besuda Rishona. And that's a mitzvah even according to Rabbi Yehuda, but Ha, the Braisa that combines the Suda's Erisin together with Hayaholech Lishvos Shvisas Rishus, that is a reference to Suda Shnia, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is a Sudas Rishus. Tanya, we have a Braisa. And the Braisa records the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. As far as Sudas Eris is concerned, is it a mitzvah? But the Braisa actually sheds a light on this machlokes, which will support Rav Chizda. Om Rav Yehuda, ani lo shamati, I never heard that there's a mitzvah of a Sudas Erisin, Ella, Besuda Rishona, Avolo, Sivlonos. Okay, now, Sivlonos is going to give us a Suda Shnia. And Avolo Rav Yossi, ani shamati, Suudas Erisin Visivlonos. Now, I want to ask two questions here. The obvious question is, what does Sivlonos have to do with the price of fish in China? I mean, after all, Sivlonos is a very nice thing, and the Chassan is sending gifts to the Kala. I was actually a shliach for my brother. I'm going back to when I was yay high to bring Sivlonos to my sister-in-law, Shulzain Gezud. I'm talking about over 50 years ago. But Sivlonos, a nice thing. I mean, the Gemara is not so happy about Mishloach Monos between a Chassan and a Kala. That's during Erisin. I'm not sure if that has any application to an engaged couple today. But back in the day when there was Erisin, as a real Doraisa, sending Mishloach Monos was a whole issue. And that depends upon the definition of Sivlonos, which we'll get to in just a minute. My second question is, why this emphasis on ani shamati, ani lo shamati? I understand that we have what's called a Mesoras HaTorah. But if that's what's going on here, then every single statement in Shas, I mean, I could do a word search throughout Shas, it should be Omar so-and-so ani shamati. I mean, all of Torah depends upon a Mesorah. Why here ani shamati? And again, I think it has to do with the concept of a minhag. A minhag has to be something that was accepted by the masses. You can't tell me that Reuven and Shimon and Levi have decided, you know, we have a three musketeer chabura, we're going to create a new minhag. That's not how minhagim are created. Minhagim are valid, and they have halachic significance, but it's got to be a minhag of the tzibur. And unless you heard about it, it's very unlikely that the tzibur had that minhag. So that Rav Yossi says, you know what, I heard about a minhag to set up a suda at the moment of Sivlonos. Rabbi Yehuda says, I never heard of it. If I never heard of it, then it's not a minog, it's not valid, and there's no way you can generate the status of a sudas mitzvah, it's a sudas rishus, and an nafkamina now is a great nafkamina, legabi the mitzvah derabbanon, after bittul, of bir chametz. If it's a sudas rishus, then there's no waiving of the mitzvah of bir chametz. If it's a sudas mitzvah, then under certain circumstances, that suda will trump the mitzvah of bir chametz derabbanon. So what's this whole business all about? So I want to read to you a note over here. And he says the following. That Tosis has this tema. And Nira, he says, I'm reading to you a commentary on Tosfos. Just give me one second here. Okay. Tema. He says, what is this source of this Suda Shnia? Nira Shesuda Sivlonos hi Suda Shnia means, according to Rav Yossi, the second Suda is a Suda Sivlonos and it is a Suda Shnia, which means, according to Rav Yossi, it's a Suda Mitzvah. And Al Suda Zu Omar Rav Chizda Shenechleku Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi ha'im sudas mitzvahi olo. Now this brisa that we're quoting here supports Rav Chizda, who said that the only machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is regarding sudas shnia. Aval b'suda rishona kulei alma kula modim shi suda mitzvah. So that this brisa now is a support for Rav Chizda. The Chasam Sofer is a little bothered by this, because usually when the Gemara quotes a brisa as a support, it usually adds a few words. Tanya nami hachi, or Tana de Messiahle. Here it just says Tanya. So the Chasam Sofer says that although this brisa records a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi with regard to Sivlonos, he says, Eino muchach, it's not necessarily so, Shesuda Shnia, the second Suda, which you remember that Rav Chizda had presented that the Suda Shnia is a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, Shehi Suda Sivlonos, Yitochen, Shehi Suda Nosefes Chutz Mi Sivlonos, Umi Suda Sivlonos, Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi Nechliku B'Shtei Sudas Elu Ha'im Hein Mitzvah Olo. So the Chasam Sofer complicates matters because he says that there are three sudas. You know, we're having trouble with two sudas. He says that the second suda that Rav Chizda mentioned before as the Machlok Shin Rav Yossi is not to be identified with the suda Sivlonos in the Brisa. So this Brisa is not being quoted by the Gemara as a support text for Rav Chizda, because this Brisa records Machlokas Rav Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about Suda Sivlonos, which is a third Suda, says the Chasam Sofer. Why is Suda Sivlonos, according to Rabbi Yossi, a Suda's mitzvah? Once again, you're going to tell me there's a minog But what's the extra dimension of simcha? You know, I understand that with regard to Nisuin, Chazal established 7 days of simcha. Some cases, 3 days of simcha, 1 day, whatever the numbers are. There's also 30 days. But in the case of Sivlonos, what's the big simcha over here? So I mentioned to you earlier that there's a whole issue about sending Sivlonos during an engagement period, or back in the time of Chazal, during the Erusin. And the Gemara records in Masechta the Kedushin of Machlokes about whether Chayshinam LeKedushin or not. Do you remember this? Because, again, a person set up an agreement with a woman that they will get married. The marriage is effectuated when he gives her kesef, shava pruta, in front of two edim, for the purpose of kiddushin. What happens if he sends sivlonos? Now again, you know, in our society, you know, I have a friend down in Florida. He makes his parnasa from creating lockets, which a young man who's dating a girl and he wants to impress her with a gift, he'll buy this locket. You know, and inside it'll say Valentine's Day. I don't know what it says inside. But anyway. But back in the time of the Gemara, at least in the Jewish community, it wasn't so common that boys went out with girls and they sent them gifts. And if we know, under certain circumstances, let's say the father of this girl has already given his consent for marriage, that if he sends her sivlonos, the Gemara says maybe if he does it publicly, or at least in front of two witnesses, he is sending it for the purpose of kiddushin. And I mentioned to you this Gemara because sivlonos, which classically means gifts that were sent after the Erusin, could also be kesef kiddushin. So that once we elevate Erusin to the status of a sudas mitzvah, again in the context of that minog, we don't know why there should be, according to some sofer, a second sudas mitzvah for Erusin, why one is not sufficient. There's no time period like, you know, that parallels Shivas Yimei HaMishteh after Nisuin. How many days of Erusin? I mean, Erusin could take 12 months. But where's the Suda Rishona? Where's the Suda Shnia? I assume the Suda Rishona is somehow very close in time, very proximate to the actual Erusin. But I have no clue when the second Sudas Erusin is done. Maybe after 6 months? I don't know. When is the second Sudas Erusin? The Chasam Sofer doesn't give us a clue. But Sivlonos, that already is taking us on the way to complete the Ishus. It's another stage of Ishus. Haraya, that Sivlonos itself could be Ishus. Could be a Maisa Kiddushin. The Gemara says, according to one man, the Omer Chayshinan, Lekiddush, she'll need a get if they don't consummate, if they don't follow through with the marriage. And Sivlonos apparently is a big deal. So much so that it could be Kesef Kiddushin. And now, says Rabbi Yossi, I understand that there was a minog that when he sent us Sivlonos, and again, the concept of Sivlonos has to do with what's called, see if I can remember the Gemara's language at the beginning of Ksubis, Kedei Lechavava. I think that's the language of the Gemara. If somebody has a Gemara Ksubis, you'll take a look. I think it's, again, I'm not a Baki, but approximately Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says that in Yehuda, right, Eretz Yisrael is divided up into three parts, and there was a minhag in Yehuda that during the Erusin, they would actually, I don't want to use the word lock up, but they would, put the Chasid HaKala, the Aris and the Erusin, in a private in a private room. And the Gemara asks why there's no Isur Yichud and so forth. And all this is Kedei L'chavava. Because again, you know, you have to imagine that a man marries a woman and 12 months are going to go by until they reach the chuppah. And she's living in our father's house. So how do you engender and maintain some sort of a chiba, a relationship between the Oros and the Arusa during this 12-month separation period? I don't know how many dates they went on before the Arusin. So if you come from a Borough Park, you may know that in some circles in Borough Park, the Chas and the Kala meet once. They go for a walk around the block. They come back in and the two sets of parents sit together with the Chas and the Kala and they clinch the engagement. You know, so I don't know exactly what went on back at the time of the Gemara. But in the Arison situation, it's a very awkward situation. And, you know, there are a lot of other men in the world. So, we have a whole parsha in the Torah, V'naira Murasa Shezinsa. If she's a Bas Kohen, she gets Sreifa. We have to somehow engender that relationship. Ad kedei kach that the Gemara says that they were miyached the chas and the kal together during Arison, the Arison and the Arusa. And how could that be? He's not allowed to have a relationship with her. The Gemara talks about whether we assume he did have a relationship with her or not in that yichud situation. So the Tzivlonos is all part of this ongoing development of an Ishus relationship. Ad kedei kach, as we said before, that maybe even Chayshina L'Kiddushin in a case where there was no Erisin, maybe the Tzivlonos is a substitute for Erisin. Now we have a little bit of an Agadita here. Let's see what the clock says for. All right, maybe we could hop right a drop of this Agadita. It's a relatively short Agadita. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Suda She'ena Shel Mitzvah Ein Talmud Chacham Rashoy Lehenos Mimena. A Talmud Chacham has to be very careful, number one, about his time. He's got to dedicate his time to the study of Torah. And secondly, he has to be very careful about where he hangs out, with whom he's hanging out. So people get together to shoot the breeze and, you know, to have some sort of a lovely outing, a dinner together, picnic together, and he gets exposed to all sorts of different types of people. And that's not something that he's allowed to do. Kigon Mai. Now, the Gemara wants to go further here and express the idea that even if people are getting together for what you think might be a Suda's mitzvah, even so, the Talmud Chacham should avoid participation because it's not really a Suda's mitzvah. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has two examples. Number one, Kigon, Bas Kohen Li Yisrael. This is unbelievable. Back in the day, they had what's called a Kohen Miyuchas. I know of one person that I know personally, he claims he's a Kohen Miyuchas. And a Kohen Miyuchas has to marry a Bas Kohen. Again, we have to learn Masechta Ksubas for this to realize the Yuchsin of Kohenim and how important that was. So for a Kohen to marry a Bas Yisrael, that's like undermining the whole Yichus of Kohuna. That Suda, the Talmud Chacham should avoid. Number two, a Bas Talmud Chacham Liyam Ha'aretz. Imagine a man is a great scholar, and he marries off his daughter to an Am Ha'aretz. Now again, Am Ha'aretz doesn't mean what you and I think it means. Namely, somebody who can't take an exam, you know, even in the in the Chaver program, he's a total ignoramus. No, that's not what an Amaretz is. Amaretz means that he's chashed, he's suspect of violating various basic mitzvahs. The Omar, Rabbi Yochanan Bas Kohen Yisrael, Ein Zivugam Ola Yofa. And in the Hebrew translation, he says, Ola Yofa means bimazal Tov, good fortune. There won't be good fortune coming out of this couple. And again, you might ask, why is Rabbi Yochanan so harsh that this marriage is not going to lead to any simcha? Because she's a Bas Yisrael and he's a Kohen. Or she's a Bas Kohen and he's a Yisrael. Maihi, when what is the terrible thing that's going to happen? Rav Chizda, O Almana, O Grusha, O Zera Einla. Unbelievable. As a result of this marriage between a Bas Kohen and Yisrael, she'll either be widowed, or divorced, or barren. For Masnisa Tana, we have a Brisa in terms of a case of a Bas Kohen that gets married to Yisrael. There are two possible things that are going to happen. Kovra, either she'll die before her time and he'll have to bury her, or Kobarto, or he'll die before the Zman and she'll have to bury him. Or alternatively, Mivi Oso Lide Anius. She is going to bring poverty into the marriage. I have a footnote in the name of the Ben Yehoyada, that's the Ben Ish Chai. He says, Kol ze nemar dafka al zmanom, shahoyu kohanim yuchasim, vi ami ha'aretz hoyu chotim, avol bizmanenu, shakohanim enom yuchasim, ele rak becheskas kohanim, whatever that means, that's a long discussion, but ami ha'aretz enom chotim, is lo nemer bahem dvarim elu umutar liyama oretz loses bas kohen. He doubles it over. Not only is this bas kohen getting married to Yisrael, but the Yisrael is also an am oretz. And he says bechalzos tov li zayr baze, meaning in shiduchim we should still be very careful. The Gemara asks, Amy, is this really so? So we're talking about a non-Kohen, and we're encouraging him, this is the same Rabbi Yochanan, to marry a Bas Kohen. How can Rabbi Yochanan encourage such a marriage? And Kolshkein Shetora Ukuhuna Miashron. How much more so will he get this Ashirus as a great reward if he marries into a Torah family, and yet he is not a Torah scholar? The Gemara answers, Lokasha, Habit Talmud Chochma Habama Oretz, when Rabbi Yochanan said that he will have this Ashirus, this reward of wealth, he was talking to a Talmud Chochma who's marrying a Bas Kohen. Now, you might say, well, she's a Bas Kohen. I mean, she comes from Aaron HaKohen, and she's not marrying a Kohen. The answer is that Aaron is very, very happy. He's overjoyed by this marriage because she's marrying a Talmud Chochma. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that Ein Zivugam Yofa, they should avoid such a marriage because he's not a Kohen, or she's not a Bas Kohen. That's B'Amo Oretz. This fellow who's marrying a Bas Kohen is an Amo Oretz, and therefore Aaron is very insulted. So we got up to Rabbi Yeshua Nosiv Kahanta, and we have another few lines to finish up the Agada to Bli Neder. We'll finish that up tomorrow. Thank you so much, and have a great, great day. Why is the reward here for marrying into Kohuna Ashirus? Because the Ketores, which is the Avodas HaKohen, the Gemara says in Yuma, Goremes Ashirus, and how much more so Torah, where the Poskim Mishlei says the B'schus HaTorah is B'smola Osher V'chavot. Now, how did the Makshan learn the words of Rabbi Yehuda? He said that Torah ukahuna mi ashron. And if we're not talking about a Talmud Chacham, where's the schus of the Torah? So what was the kasha here? Obviously, we're talking about a Talmud Chacham. V'yishlomar shadiyik min lishono shomar kol shkein shema ashron mashma she'af le'ama oretz masheres mishum schus kahuna levat v'kol shkein v'talmud Chacham she'yishlo af es schus ha'torah shema ashrosan. And the Gemara answers, no, that's not the way you read it. Ela ma'asheres rak l'talmud Chacham aval ama oretz hanosei bas koin mevi'osu lidei anius. And the kolshke means that if the kohen bilvada kuna mashroso is kolshkein shebas kohen shetinose l'talmud chacham shemitztarefes l'schus ha-torah, so you have both Torah and kuhuna sheti asher osam. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop for today. And Amir Sashem, tomorrow we'll start with Rabbi Yeshua Nosif Kahanta here on Daf Mem Tes, Amud Al, towards the bottom of the Om.